So this morning, the day after lots of turkey, Thanksgiving, at least for those in the U.S., there are two calendar verses that I really enjoyed, and I thought I'd share them with you. The first one is, these are just some verses here. So, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, he shall not be afraid. That's in Psalms 112, verse 7 and 8. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. Psalm 139, 23. And then, the other one this morning. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. Genesis 50 and verse 20. If you were paying attention, you might recognize that that is from Joseph and his three brothers, or not three brothers, but when he revealed himself to his brothers, he said, ye meant it harm, but God meant it for a reason, for a purpose. And so a little bit of what I'd like to touch on this evening is kind of a mirror of what we talked about in the reading meeting, and that was faith and character and how we walk in our life. So some verses I'd like to touch on to kind of bring that out. First is I'm going to speak a little bit about Joseph and then Hezekiah and just touch on some of the points and aspects of their life that hopefully we can be encouraged by. So a question for everyone in the room. Are you glad or excited to be here this evening? You can raise your hands. That's good. So, if you are, why? If you aren't, why not? You don't have to answer that question. Not to me, anyway. So, if we turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39, just a couple verses here. To set the stage for this part of Joseph's life, Genesis 39, verse 19, and it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that this wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So if we try to put ourselves in Joseph's shoes here, not really an easy thing to do, but he was committed to a prison for something that he hadn't committed anything wrong, but he was committed to a prison for it. I don't think a prison in that time would have been very posh. Probably didn't have any basketball courts or anything like that, would they? I think prison back then was more of a life sentence to death. Very slow. Not very pleasing. How can we apply that to our lives? Well, what did Joseph do? He showed a character that made the keeper of that prison so struck with his character that he put him in charge of all of that prison. So too, we are placed in a position, and wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're placed in a position for a reason. So let's keep our minds on that a little bit as we go a little bit more. And it came to pass, and this is chapter 40, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. I don't think it's any coincidence that these two, the butler and the chief baker, were put into the same prison that Joseph was. That, of course, was ordered of God. And as a result, we're familiar with that story of Joseph, aren't we? They each had a dream. One was restored unto his place as before, the other was definitely not. So what we do in our current state, in our current activities, if you will, is not solely upon us, but it is our responsibility. So let's just go a little bit more into this. In chapter 41, I'll just read the last verse of chapter 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Verse 1 of chapter 41, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. What I wanted to emphasize on that is 2 full years. Sometimes trials or difficulties or problematic situations last 20 minutes, a day, a week, sometimes a year. But you know, sometimes it's even longer than that. And in this case, it was 2 years. Now, I'm sure that Joseph, he could have been really mad and upset, and maybe at first he was. But we're not told that detail. But what we do know is that Joseph eventually was remembered by the king's cupbearer, and I guess you would call him the butler, and he remembered him. When he did, what happened to Joseph? Well, he revealed this dream unto Pharaoh, and he was then made the ruler, only second to the king, over the land of Egypt. Now, I haven't studied my geography to know how long or how far that empire extended. But it was not a small area of land. It had to be rather large. And what did Joseph learn during those times, during that time in the prison? A reliance upon God for all that he needed. And for wisdom. How would you like to go from a dungeon to meet the president of the U.S., Prime Minister of Canada, Queen, Great Britain. That's quite a change. How would you carry yourself? Well, Joseph learned how to carry himself as a result of what he suffered. We would call it today, well, he didn't deserve that. What did he do wrong? Maybe not, but God allowed it for a reason. And as a result, what happened to those in Egypt and in many places around, that land was very fruitful for 7 years and then very not fruitful. There was drought. There was famine for 7 years. But the wisdom that Joseph had as a result of what he suffered, what he went through, what he trusted in, and what he believed in, brought not only those in Egypt, but in the lands around, it carried them forth through those years of drought. So, who's paid attention to the news lately? Anyone? I'm sure most of us have. None of it's been very pleasant, has it? How does that make us walk? Is it sad? It sure is. Terrible. And so I want to impress upon young people, and myself included, how do we walk so that we can be a character that would allow us to be a testimony to others? How do we have wisdom? Well, it's by the things that we, whether it's suffering or whether it's sickness or trial, those things will help us to move on and to be that shining light for the Lord. Perhaps just to further that aspect, if we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31, we'll read of Hezekiah, who was, we'll read about it. Verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Well, as we know, Hezekiah, he started out very well, and he was a very good king. I won't touch on the latter part of his life, but let's read some more verses in chapter 32 to kind of, again, set the stage. What did Hezekiah do? He started out very well. He did not end up finishing very well. But during his reign, when he did reign correctly and rightly, what did he do? I think a good summary of what he did is in this next chapter. After these things, chapter 32, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Again, the enemy of God. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city. And they did help him. So there was gathered much people together, who stopped all the fountains and all the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with them, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So if we may look at this and summarize it quickly, what happened here? Well, for one, Hezekiah took counsel with his princes and the priests too. And what did they do? They went to work. So they took counsel. They didn't act without figuring out what they were going to do. And so the Word of God is that direction for us. That is and should be our counsel. Many times it seems like it's an afterthought. We go on in our own strength. I'm guilty of it. And we think, we look back on a situation where we needed strength, and we think, well, why didn't I go to the Lord in prayer? Because we thought we could do it ourselves. The Lord is interested in the smallest, if we will, thing that we think of. And He will help us. And so they took strength in that, and they went on. They carried out that work. As he says, they were strong and courageous. For men, that can mean lifting bricks, chopping wood. For women, what does that mean? That can mean different things. Praying. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You can figure that out for yourself with the strength of God. But they were strong and courageous. And as a people, as a group, they were strong and courageous. They went to work. Did they act alone? No, they acted together and they acted with faith. And that's what gave them that victory. It's very telling when it says, with him, or Sennacherib, was an arm of flesh. I'm sure his strength in the flesh was great. His power over people was great with Assyria. But what was that in the sight of God? Nothing. They said, with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. So as a group, as a whole, they rested themselves. They took comfort in what Hezekiah told them and what they did. And they were able to continue to go forth. And so they had to learn those things. Ask another question here. How many of you, and you don't have to answer, thought when you were younger, you know, as I get older, I'll just get this knowledge, I'll just get it through osmosis. I used to think that. I thought, I would look at my dad and I'd look at older brethren as well and see their knowledge or hear it. well, how did they get it? Osmosis. You just get it. Not really. You have to read, and you have to study the Word of God. Perhaps you'll be brought through something or some things that will cause you to do that. That's what happened to me. And for 2 years, I would go and read and dig in the Word of God. Never do I regret that. So perhaps we can, in closing, take a look at another verse or two. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, kind of a key word of today, faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He will carry us through. You sang that song day by day. What a beautiful song that is. And that's really how we ought to walk. It's day by day. It's not year by year, month by month. No, it's day by day. And then lastly, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'll read these verses quickly. And as a closing thought, but hopefully we can take away from this these actions that I'm about to read and continue in strength and courage and be lifted up and built up together, not as individuals, but collectively as a whole. Because there is strength in numbers. And I'll tell you right now, Satan does not want to see this many young people together. The spears or the darts and the shields that Hezekiah and those built, that's what I see right here. So let's continue. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Think about this, without wrath and doubting. So the first thing on the first two things on the list, supplication and prayer. The last two, without wrath and doubting. May we go forward in that character and in that strength.